Our scripture reading for the second Sunday of Advent comes from Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 13. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Jesus Christ, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Again, it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy could one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am.
Today, you're going to hear from John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was a very dear child. It says he was out in the wilderness preaching. That means he was out in the cornfields. He was out in the forest talking about God. And he didn't eat normal things like hamburgers and pizza. He ate bugs.
Ew.
And he put honey in the base of bugs, so maybe it tastes a little bit better. And speaking of bugs, I thought I would bring John the Baptist's favorite treat. Anyone who wants to try, does anyone try eating the bug?
Yes.
I'll eat one first just to show that they're good, right? Anyone want to try one? Do you want to try one? Is it a little
bug? I'm going to try one.
No one wants to eat it? You're going to leave me alone? That way, Philip. You want to try one?
I want to try it.
Those are my
things. Those are food.
They're bugs.
Aren't they wooden flies?
You want to try one?
Yes, they are.
They're made out of sugar.
Okay, if you get brave later on, you come and find me. I have plenty. Whatever doesn't get eaten, we have to eat for lunch today, so. John the Baptist was weird. He was out in the wilderness. He was eating bugs. But even though he was very weird, he was very important. God said he was the most important of all the prophets in the Bible. And he also had a very important message. He was preparing people for Jesus. So you see all the Advent decorations and Christmas decorations. It's to prepare for who?
God.
Jesus, right? And so John the Baptist is also preparing for Jesus. And he says there's two things to prepare for Jesus. The first is to repent, which means to change, to do the right thing, to say you're sorry, right? So John the Baptist was preaching, and people were saying, what should I do? How can I change? So, for example, if I was John, I was preaching, and you said, well, earlier today, I was mean to my sister.
Or maybe you
What lie. Do I do? What do you think John would say? Do you think he would say, to make it right, how about you go decorate a Christmas tree? What do you think he would say? To make it right. If you were mean to your sister, how would you make it right? Maybe say, why don't you go apologize for her? Or then start being nice to her. Or maybe you say, I told a lie to my parents. What should I do? What do you think John the Baptist would say? Go sing some Christmas carols? How do I make it right?
You tell them what is true.
You tell them the truth. And you try to speak truthfully from then forth, right? And so, repent and change, try to be good. But the other thing that John the Baptist says, and it's very important, is that we need forgiveness. We can't do it by ourselves. He says, look, there's Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So all the things you did wrong, I will forgive. I will cover. I will take away. So John the Baptist comes and says, change, repent, and believe and trust in Jesus to help you. Alright, anyone still feel brave enough to eat a bug? Okay, let me say it right there, okay? If you want one on the way up. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your Bible, which tells us how to prepare for Jesus. We ask that you help us to repent and to change and try to be good, but also to trust and believe in you to help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Mighty and everlasting God, on this second Sunday of the Advent season, we bow before you. This season of Advent, about expectation and anticipation, in preparation. Lord, we thank you for your prophetic word. We thank you for the people of Scripture that you use to prepare the way for us, a way that leads to the truth and a life in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that the scriptures that are shared and the music that is offered this day would just continue to touch our hearts and prepare our minds to worship you. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the ministry of Crossroad. Lord, we thank you for Kyle's years of service with them, and we pray your blessing upon her as she moves into retirement. We continue to pray for the children. We pray for their families. We pray for the staff. We pray that at the center of the reality of Crossroad, that those children would find health and love and meaning. Lord, we pray for this season, these Sundays and the events of the church, that the traditions would help us to remember the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that your spirit would continue to be felt by the family of Wayne Spies. We thank you for his witness and his life. And we pray your blessing upon those that loved him and knew him. Lord, we're grateful that Larry Miller continues to recover, and we pray your strength upon him. We pray for Dale and for Leah. Lord, we pray for Phyllis Miller and for Denzel as Phyllis has moved to Fairlawn. We continue to pray for Lynn and Jack and for Jody. Lord, we pray for the interactions we would have with our family and friends, with strangers in this time. We pray for your peace, and we pray for your grace, and we thank you for your hope, a hope that is realized in Jesus, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
Our next song is Light of Love, and I invite the congregation to join in on the third verse.
This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. The Son of the Most High was born in the humble surroundings of a stable because there was no room for him in the inn. Hear the word of the Lord. I have loved you with an everlasting love. My command is this: love the Lord with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. For the one who opened the stable doors of yesterday and for those who open their hearts today to the love of God, we give thanks.
Thank you.
This morning's sermon scripture is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is much more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This ends the reading of God's holy word.
I invite you to take the red hymnal that is in front of you and open it up to 154 so you can sing along with me. Just wanted to wake you up. I do wish I could. 154, "What can I give him?" I want you to look at the last four words. "Give him my heart." Give him my heart. You can keep the hymnal open or you can put it away. It's all I wanted you to focus on. What can I give him? Give him my heart. We have the example this morning of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was prepared. He knew what his life was going to be even before he was born. In the revelation to his father Zechariah, Zechariah knew what his son was going to be about. And over the course of his young life, I'm sure that John was made aware of his purpose, of that purpose, and he was prepared. Through his childhood and his teenage years, he was just a few months older than Jesus. And somehow it was revealed to John as well that the time for Jesus was coming very soon. And so John the Baptist, he got busy out there in the desert. He didn't preach in the towns. He didn't preach at the gates. He didn't preach at the temple. But people came to him. And they came to hear a message that John the Baptist was remembering from Isaiah 40, verse 3. A voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God." Isaiah's prophecy had happened 400 years before John the Baptist came on the scene. But he knew that prophecy and he shares that prophecy. And that prophecy is still for us today, to make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Not a small little dirt track, but a highway that people would come to God. Now, John did eat locusts. He ate other things, other bugs from the desert and the wilderness. He was an ascetic. He withdrew from society. He withdrew from the world that he could focus in on his relationship with God so he could study those Old Testament prophecies and be prepared for his ministry. And his ministry amongst the people in a very bold and brash way was to call people to repentance, to call people to be aware of their sin, to confess that sin, To repent means to change, to turn away from that sin and not commit that sin again, and to be cleansed in the waters of baptism. For John baptized with water for repentance, and that water is that aspect of cleansing. So when we say, what can I give him? Give him my heart. The way to have a clean heart is through confession and repentance. And John the Baptist knew that everything he was about was preparing the way for Jesus, who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And in those ending words that Avery read for us from Matthew 3, this image of the winnowing fork, of clearing the threshing floor, of gathering in the wheat and burning up the chaff. In today's world, we might not have a very good image of a winnowing fork and a threshing floor. Harvest today is done by big machines of multi-different colors. Didn't want to give one above the other, you know. But that winnowing fork is a harvest tool, just like a combine is a harvest tool. And it's meant to separate the wheat from the chaff, gathering the wheat in the harvest and burning up the chaff. John the Baptist is taking on the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's calling them a brood of vipers because he's bold and he's brash and he speaks the truth. And in that harvest, there's that time of separation. That separation is coming for us, for God's people of the earth. And that separation is based on faith. It's not on deeds. It's not how well we've decorated. It's not on our desires or our status in society, but it is based on our faith. Faith alone, grace alone. Our spiritual preparations for Christmas is to offer an open heart to Jesus Christ, to read the scriptures, to know him. What can we give? We give him our hearts. Amen. With hearts of faith, we have the opportunity to share of our many blessings. So I invite our ushers to come forward to receive our morning offerings. Lord God, in faithfulness, we share these offerings with you to the work and the ministry of your kingdom, that people's hearts would be repentant and turn to you, including our own. In Christ we pray. Amen.
I invite the congregation to remain standing for our final song, The Light of Christ, and to join us on verses 1 and 3.
Hear the word of the Lord. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of shadow of death, a light has dawned. For the light of Christ that shines in the darkness for all people in all times, we give thanks. Go now and share the good news of the gospel of peace. I have come to comfort those who mourn, to give them joy instead of sorrow, hope instead of despair. My unfailing love will not be shaken. My promise of peace stands forever. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has made his light shine in your hearts. No one lights a lamp and hides it. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. In the same way, let your light shine. You are the light of the world. Go now as children of light.
in this Advent season, remain watchful with your eyes on Christ, whose birth in a manger was but a promise of his coming again in glory. Depart in his peace. Amen.